Amen, amen. Grab a seat, grab a seat. Open your Bibles, Philippians chapter 2. I'm going to move out of these cords so I don't trip and entertain you guys this morning. Hope you had a great weekend. I don't know about you, but weekends are a lot of times for home projects. And this weekend was another home project. Anybody else do a home project this weekend? A few of you, yes. And it's like home ownership. Nobody told us that it's like a lifetime hobby. And you're constantly working. You're constantly upkeeping your home. And this weekend, we tackled the laundry room, which is sat the way it was for 4 years. But it had this yellow wallpaper. Anybody love removing wallpaper? No, it's terrible. It's probably been there since 1978 when the home was built. And I'm just like, it's something we've constantly avoided. It's something that we're saying, we are not going to tackle the laundry room. Like, we're just going to shut the door, hope no one walks through, and just not even address it. But why? Because it's challenging. It's defeating. And we're like, it's just better to ignore it. The text we're going to read today is just like wallpaper, okay? It's challenging. It's defeating. And some of us are just going to say, you know what? I don't even think I want to tackle it. I'm just going to ignore it. But I want you to know that your joy is dependent upon stepping into what Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 through 11 reads and says. And today, I just want to invite us to step in, to glean some wisdom from Paul as he's writing this text, and ultimately that we would be encouraged by it, and that we wouldn't avoid it like the laundry room with wallpaper, but we would actually step in and begin to embrace it and ask the Lord to build this in our lives. So I'm going to read it to us this morning, building on the text that we read this last week, Philippians chapter 2, 5 through 11 says, "Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Amen. What a text. I'm going to tell you three things this morning that I want to kind of highlight from this text. And the first thing that I want you to see is the possession of humility. In this very first verse, in verse 5, it says, "Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours." And it's like, I want you to have something that you already have. And you're like, okay, well, I have it. Well, what it's talking about is that it's an actual awareness that you have it, that you actually know that you have. Have you ever had something that you didn't know that you had? One of the things that we loved to do in college was put library books. We'd go in the library. We weren't there often, but we'd go in the library, and if my friends were there, I would take library books and I would put them in their backpack underneath their stuff so that they would walk out and the alarms would go off on them. Now, obviously, they're like, I don't have anything. They didn't know that they had them. They didn't know that they had books tucked under their, and so it was embarrassing for them. It was a great practical joke, and that's what we love to do for fun. They didn't know that they had them. In a way, one of the things that you have, the mind of Christ, those who have been united with Christ have the mind of Christ, but we don't necessarily live, or we don't live with an awareness that it's possible to have the mind of Christ, that you can have the attitude and the activity that Christ had. And some, if you read like the KJV version, if you read some different translations, because there's some difference in understanding of like theologically what this text means. And I want you to say, like, if we go and we read KJV version, it says, "Have this mind in you, which was also in Christ." And so That makes sense. It makes more sense than saying, I want you to have something that you already have. But the truth is union in Christ that is yours in Christ Jesus, because we have been united with Christ, all that Jesus has, we have. And what a great benefit that is. That possession is something that I want you to see. You have this. So when we read this text and we're defeated and we go, I could never live like this. I could never. The truth is you can't. But because you are in Christ Jesus and you are united with Jesus, all who are united with Jesus can have the mind of Jesus and can live like Jesus. And that's our heart, and that's our desire. And so we have this possession of humility. You may ask, when we think about having this mindset and having this awareness of this mindset, we need a mindset shift. A lot of us, we don't live as if this is the norm. I want to point this out to us, because the norm is quite different. If we don't have a mindset shift, we don't live as if we're concerned for others or live with the humility that Jesus is going to illustrate. We live for the self. And John Eldridge just recently wrote a book called Get Your Life Back. And one of the things he talks about in there is the self-life. And I want to read this to you. It's the self-life in us that all of us have that so easily takes offense. It enjoys taking offense. It wants things done our way. So it continually makes demands because, of course, our demands are perfectly reasonable, justified. The self-life doesn't like being interrupted, cut off on the freeway, told what to do or how to do things. It hates when someone corrects our driving, our typing, our cooking, our performance. It's the self-life in us that keeps record of wrongs. It holds those imaginary conversations with people we'd love to set straight. And this isn't a matter of Christian and non-Christian. The self-life has a religious version. It gets irritated when a prayer time goes longer than we think it should. It feels wronged when the church services run late, and it doesn't particularly enjoy worship. The self waits to be asked during small groups how we're doing. It feels righteously irritated when someone else takes too long talking about their life. The self-life hasn't given a thought about the return of Christ because it's totally focused on the here and now, making things work out now, and it's quietly angry when people suggest our hopes should be set on the life to come. And he goes on and on talking about this self-life. Now, here's the thing. All of us who hear that this morning, we go, now I know I possess that. Like, I got frustrated on the way here because somebody cut me off, or my kids were slow getting in the car, or things didn't go the way you planned this morning. They didn't meet your expectations or preferences. We know we possess that, but we don't know that we have the ability to possess the mind of Christ. So how do we have this mindset? How do we have a renewed mind? We need a transformed mind. Well, Romans 12:2 says it very clearly. Do not be conformed to this world. I'll stop there. If we do not have a renewed mind, as Paul's addressing here, we will conform to the world. But we need a transformed mind. And it says, be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing, discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. We read in this text, our mind needs a complete makeover and renovation. Our mind needs an awareness that we can possess the mind of Christ and the humility of Christ and the selfless life of Christ. Titus 3:5 tells us how that's possible. By the washing and regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. We need a fresh awakening. We need to open God's word daily. We need God's word to renew our mind. We need it to transform our thinking. We need to open up God's word and allow us to see this is the mind. This is what Christ has done in us. And through that, our minds are transformed. We need that renewal every day. If we are not renewed, we will conform. So we need renewal. We need renewal. So I don't think there's anyone here that would say, okay, like I want to understand. I desire to possess that. I desire to have the mindset of Jesus in this text. But I want you to see, in this text, we have more than just an example. One of the things that we read about in 5 through 11 is we read last week to think of others, to consider others' needs before our own. And we read in this text that this is basically, it's an illustration. This is how Jesus modeled it. But I want you to see that this is not just an example to follow, but the very things that Jesus did was a power to enable humility in our own lives. So we have the possession of humility, it's ours, we can have the mind of Christ, but we have the power of Jesus' humility, and it's described in these next few verses here. Who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, being found in human form, he humbled himself, he became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Now here, these are not just historical events that we are to account for. These are not just describing Christology and the nature of God. It's meant to describe what Christ has done for you to empower you to live like Christ lived. It's interesting when we read this text how similar it is to the Genesis account describing Adam. How does it say? It says he was made and he did not consider equality with God a thing to be grasped. He was made in the form of God. It's not saying that he was God. It's not saying he was a form of God or he had some likeness. Even though, how are we made? In the image of God. We are not God. We're made in the image of God. But what did we do? We grasped to be God. We took of the fruit. We wanted to know good and evil. We wanted knowledge. We wanted to be like God. We considered that something to grasp. We wanted to grab hold of it. But Jesus did not consider, even though he was God, he did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, a platform to hold, something to reign over and say, everyone praise me. He humbled himself even to death on a cross. He sacrificed it all. He took the form of a servant. He took the form of a slave to serve you. It's the exact opposite of our human nature. Our human nature is always grasping for things to make us more significant, to get approval, to gain acceptance, to gain power, to gain control. And we see that Jesus gave it up. And again, it's not just a model, and we look at him and go, okay, I'm going to strive that, but he did it for you to empower you. Jesus did what we were unable to do. The human nature does what Adam did all the time. But Jesus did something different that we were unable to do to empower us, to give us power. We ultimately, when we think about Christ emptying himself and taking the form of a servant, it says that he emptied himself. And this wasn't necessarily he ceased to be God. It's important when we look at this because there is a lot of Christology. There is a lot of definition. But Jesus is God and he didn't cease being God. But it says that he emptied himself by what? By taking. He emptied himself by adding to his nature a human nature. He took on the form of humanity. He became like us. And he lived on this earth, ultimately becoming obedient even to death, death on a cross. And Jesus goes to the cross for your sins. Jesus goes to the cross. He embraces the suffering. He embraces the wrath of God. He's mocked. He's given a crown of thorns. One who is God is mocked as a king. He's given a crown of thorns that is beaten into his skull. And he's beaten beyond recognition. And they take nails and they nail his hands and they nail his feet and they put him upon a cross on display for all to see. Why? Not just as a model, not just as an example, but to empower you not to grasp for anything else in this world, but to grasp for him. To gain your eyes and attention that you would see him. One writer said about this text, in short, Paul says, I want you to feast on Christ. That's what he's saying in this text. He says in the following verses that we just read, he backs up the semi-truck of Christ's infinite merit and dumps it on the front porch of the Philippian church. And he says, there it is, brothers and sisters, feast on Jesus. And that's what we're to do, that it's not meant to just be a model, but it's meant to empower us, that we see the sacrifice, that we experience the sacrifice that he made for us, that we're to personalize that, to individualize. He sacrificed his life for me. He died for me. Why? So that I wouldn't grasp for acceptance, so I wouldn't grasp for satisfaction, so I wouldn't grasp for power, so I wouldn't grasp for approval. And this is what it empowers us to live lives of humility and consider others more important than ourselves. Why? Because we are so loved, we have now been set free to love. Because we have been so cared for by Jesus in his sacrifice, now we've been set free to care for others. We have been so served by Jesus, now we're set free to go and serve others. We need to experience the power of humility in this text. Not just read this through as a historical event and recount the narrative of Jesus, but to experience he did that for you to empower humility in you. The last thing I would tell you is this. It's the paradox of humility. The paradox of humility. It says, and being found in verse 8, and being found in human form, he humbled himself. He became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. So what happened? Therefore, God has highly exalted him. Matthew 23:11-12, it says, the greatest among you shall be your servant. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled. But whoever humbles himself will be exalted. 1 Peter 5:5-6, likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourselves with humility toward one another. Why? For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, so at the proper time he might exalt you. It's through humility that we are exalted. I want you to imagine for a second that you're Jesus, okay? And you come on this earth, and your goal is to create a revolution, pointing people to who God truly is. What would you do? If you're anything like me, you gather a big event. You gather a crowd and you get a platform and you gain all these, you show off all your credentials and your degrees and all of the things that you've worked for and why people should listen to you. And you make this massive case for why I'm creating this platform. And then you begin to share and you begin to teach. And what does Jesus do? Jesus began to serve. It seems backwards. It's upside down. And that's the paradox of humility. It says it's through humility that it leads to our exaltation. A lot of times we say, I want to be great, but we don't realize that greatness comes through serving. Greatness comes through walking in humility. If you've ever ridden a motorcycle, it's interesting. To go left, you actually push on the steering, like the steering handlebars. What it's called? Handlebars. You push on the handlebars actually right to go left. You push on it a little left to go right. You're like, that doesn't seem right. It seems backwards. And if you've ever like just tried to jump on, you try to ride it like a bicycle, it doesn't work. And that's one of the things, like when we look at the life of Jesus, Jesus is modeling the paradox of humility, that it's through humility that we're exalted. Why? Because humility is the entry point into Jesus. No one comes to Jesus unless there's a point of humility where you say, I need something. You have to come to a point of need. You have to come to a point of going, on my own, I'm not so polished. On my own, I'm not so great. On my own, I don't have the skill set. On my own, there's no way I can humble myself and live in this manner. But it's through Jesus. Jesus empowers it. But we have to come to him. We have to come to him through humility. When you think about your own life, we think about climbing up the ladder of achievement. And a lot of us call it ambition. Jesus was ambitious, but Jesus served. Jesus was ambitious about serving. Jesus was ambitious about loving. Jesus was ambitious about sacrifice. Jesus was ambitious about others. This is not anti-ambition. This is anti-self. Jesus served, and it's through his serving that he gained impact and influence. So, in the divine economy of things, by giving, what happens? People receive. By serving, they're served. By losing their lives, they find them. It's this paradox. I tell you all that this morning, and when we look at the possession of humility, the power of Jesus' humility, and the paradox of humility, I say all that, why? Because I want you to see you can have it. You can have that type of life. You can have it. Jesus modeled it. You've been served by it. The Holy Spirit empowers it, and your joy is dependent upon it. You can have it. Jesus modeled it. We've been served by it. The Holy Spirit empowers it, and your joy is dependent upon it. That's the pathway of humility. That's the pathway that Jesus marks out for us. That's the pathway that Paul invites us into. That's the pathway that Paul says, you have, you possess, you've been empowered to walk in it. Your joy is dependent upon it. Let's pray together this morning. Father, we thank you for this text and this reminder that the way one becomes great is not through our achievements. The way one becomes great is not through our platform. The way one becomes great is not through popularity, but it's through sacrifice. And Lord Jesus, I pray that we would be reminded, that we would have a renewed mind this morning of the sacrifice that you made for each and every single person sitting here today. Father, help us be reminded this morning that you went to the cross, and this wasn't just a story. That you went to the cross, you became obedient unto death. You took the pain, you took the nails, you took the punishment, you took the sin, so that we didn't have to. Lord, you served us so that we would serve others, to empower service in us, to empower humility in us. And so this morning, I pray by the power of your Holy Spirit that we would feast on these words of Jesus, on these actions of Jesus, and that it would build in us the attitude of mind of Jesus. Help us to have the mind of Christ, a mind of self-sacrifice. Lord, thank you for this reminder that all of those who walk in humility will one day be exalted. Thank you that you are coming again to save us, to redeem us, and to forever change us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.